Another call. It is now 2:34. I'd like to call the Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners work session to order at this time. Commissioner Lopez, would you please lead us in invocation?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting us here today. And it is your guidance, your wisdom, and your knowledge that we ask for. Thank you for being here with us, Father. We give this meeting to you. Amen.
Amen.
Commissioner Haas, would you please lead us in the pledge today?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Haas?
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
I am here. And do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Dornkamp?
No changes, Commissioner.
Entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. All right, everybody. Item A, the only item we have today is the CPACE discussion. So we have had a presentation before the board recently, and Ms. Danelle Bird was part of that from OPI, and there was a lot of questions raised for the board and for our other elected officials, and I believe that's what kind of where we're at here, and a consensus to kind of get some of those questions resolved moving forward. So I will hand it over to Mr. Dornkamp to lead us down that rabbit hole. Mr. Duncan.
Commissioners, part of that discussion was, and please chime anyone in, please chime in anyone and add to this, but part of that discussion, if memory serves me correctly, is a concern about if a entity or a owner who had a building in the CPACE program was to be declared insolvent, what would happen with the property taxes owed the county and other taxing entities? And then how would those CPACE program payments be made? That was one of the issues I recall. And I'm sure there's a couple of those that I forget, but I think that was the one that caused the most discussion.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp. And I believe we have Mr. Phillips, the director of CPACE, on the call. Are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody.
Okay. I didn't recognize number. I see the name, but then I see a phone number. So,
yep.
Okay. So I guess these questions will be directed to you. Could you move forward with that?
Yeah, sure. So, right. That's one of the most common questions, as you would imagine, when we're talking to the counties. But what happens in a default scenario? And it's the same, the mortgage holder who needs to provide consent, or the construction lender on a new construction project that needs to provide consent. They ask the same questions from their perspective. But the main point to make about this is if an owner fails to make their payments, it's the same as not paying your taxes, right? It carries the same weight, which would mean that the project, the building owner, can go into a foreclosure scenario, or it could move into a tax lien sale ultimately, right? The key thing to understand about the CPACE assessment is it doesn't extinguish and it doesn't accelerate. It doesn't come due. So it's gonna carry along with the property until it's made whole at some point, right? When a new owner, or if it's the mortgage holder, in many cases would most likely move in and take possession of the property. But in any event, however it's resolved, those payments and arrears are what need to be made up. So they're not paid by the county, they're not owed by the county or by anybody else. It's the next owner, the future owner, that would make up those payments.
Okay. Tracy, Chair, may I ask Yes, thank you so much, Tracy. And thank you for responding to a couple of the conversations you and I have had. You know, one of the things that in checking with other counties, I think the question that really specifically is, in going through all the language on the contracting, I personally couldn't find where it says that in the event of a default on a loan, that in a sense, the county, it's paid first. I think that was one of the very, very specific questions. And then you and I spoke about that, Tracy. Is there any language anywhere in the contract that identifies that, that actually says, yes, the county is going to be made whole before, is going to be paid before CPACE would be paid? And if that is anywhere written, I was unable to find it. And if it isn't written, would you be willing to put that clause in the county so we don't leave the county, in a sense, basically null and void?
Right, that's good, Felix. Yeah, it is not, I think you're right. It's not in the participation agreement specifically, but it is in the legislation. So the CPACE legislation that essentially enabled CPACE financing in the state, it does talk to that. And it's pretty straightforward in as much as, you know, the CPACE assessment, it's a special purpose assessment. So it essentially, it takes the same priority as any other assessment. And so the pecking order has always been taxes, property taxes come first, then it's any other assessment or district, and then it's the mortgage, right? That's sort of the order of things. So property taxes are always going to be paid first. But that is specifically talked to in the legislation.
Is there, you know, and I didn't think of going back and looking at the legislation. All I ended up personally doing is going through the CPACE website, spent quite a fair amount of time in there. But would you send us a copy of the, was it a House bill or a Senate bill, the one that authorized CPACE to operate as it stands?
Yeah, I can send that to you. It is also available on the website under, you know, copace.com. Okay. And then in the resources, yeah, they're the Colorado, it's listed under the program documents, and it's called the Colorado New Energy Improvement District Statute. So you can download it there. Okay. But I'll email it to you as well, Felix. Yeah.
Very good. And if I may, I have a follow-up question, and you and I talked about this whole thing. Walk me through the process on, say that we have a building that is going to be purchased for a couple hundred thousand dollars, and there is going to be $1 million CPACE loan taken against, and the building is within the current assessed value of the $100,000 or $200,000. The assessed valuation of the building after the improvements would maintain basically the initial assessment value going through perhaps the 25 years, whatever amount of years it would be. The assessed valuation remains at the previous assessed valuation prior to any improvements, correct?
Yeah, so let me explain that a bit, right? So when a project, an owner is looking for financing, there's underwriting that's performed by a number of different folks involved in the transaction, right? So there's the mortgage holder or the construction lender, if there is one. They need to underwrite the project, essentially say, yeah, this looks like a good deal from our perspective. And then there's the lender, the capital provider that's providing the financing, and they're going to have their own underwriting to make sure they're comfortable, you know, with their risk evaluation in lending the money. The owner is going to look at it from their perspective, of course, you know, is this project good for me? And then the program, we do our own review, our quality assurance review of all of the work done by everybody else to make sure all the numbers look good. When that underwriting is done, the amount of financing that a building owner is going to be eligible for, to satisfy that underwriting, it's usually around 20% of the building's value. And that value can be either from an assessed value or an appraised value. So it just depends. If like maybe they only have an assessed value, but that number is big enough that you know, looking at 20% of that is going to give them the financing they need, then they're good to go. Sometimes projects will, maybe they'll have an appraisal, or they'll go out and get an appraisal, a recent appraisal, to see what the building's worth today, so that they can see then, okay, how much financing am I eligible for at about 20% of the building's value. So, and that 20% number isn't a set, it's not a rule, but that's usually what all the parties involved are comfortable with the building owner borrowing against the building's value. It can be higher than that, but there is a limit if there's no mortgage on the building or there's no construction lender involved with the project, then they're limited at a 25% lien to value. So they can't borrow more than 25% of the building's value. But that assessed value, so CBASE doesn't affect the assessed value in and of itself, right? It's just another way for the owner to finance it. It'd be no different if they financed it with a traditional loan, let's say. So the assessed value in years to come may change, right? Especially if they're doing improvements on the building, most likely it's going to be assessed at more down the road. But the CBASE doesn't affect the assessed value one way or the other.
Is there a correlation when you work with the tax increment with the TIF districts, with the historical district enterprise zone? Is there any correlation between CBASE and all the other tax breaks that an investor, a lender takes a look at, you know, and basically basing it back to the 25% max loan? How do all those entities work together to actually benefit at the end of the day, you know, to make this investors whole?
Right. So we've had a lot of projects. They'll utilize various sources of funding for their projects, right? It may be grants, we've had projects use the USDA grants or the REAP grants in the past. It could be other sort of tax benefits. It could be the, like for a solar project, the investment tax credit or maker's depreciation, or it could be something like TIFs or whatever. But really all those other sources of funding, they work independently of the CBASE financing. Again, it's like CBASE isn't much different than a traditional loan in that respect. The easiest way to think about it is CBASE is, it's associated with the property taxes because that's how the owner is making their payments. It's a line item on their property tax bill, right? Essentially, the CBASE loan is piggybacking on that property tax bill, but it's not affecting the taxes or anything else like that, the financing itself. So all those other sources of financing that they may use would be unaffected by CBASE.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mr. Phillips, because that leads me to my question I have. And I always, I'm an optimist. I hope for the best, but expect the worst. So here's the expect the worst question for you. Say this project goes into default. It has a CBASE loan attached to it of $1 million, for instance. And at that time, there's no payment to the county or to the CBASE. There's no activity whatsoever. And as time goes on, our treasurer does the tax liens and they move forward with certificates and so forth that's put in for auction and selling. And at that point, where does or how does the county fall into being the collection agency for this, because it's going to stick to that building if I heard correctly, and we have no activity or personnel or folks that want to buy that property because of the $1 million attached loan to it or lien to it? How does that work out instead of having another empty building for the next 30 years? And
right.
Yeah. So, and then in the legislation that you referred to, that the county would be paid first. Well, if there's no activity, we're not getting squat.
That's right. That's right. So it doesn't matter who's getting first if nobody's getting anything, right? But so, yeah. So, I mean, that could, there is a potential that could happen. The important things to think about, though, with respect to that, is essentially to keep it, I think, in some perspective, right? So on that $1 million CPACE assessment, like I said, in a default scenario, the assessment doesn't accelerate. It doesn't come due. It's only any past payments that would be due, right? So on that $1 million deal, let's say, the annual payments might be, I don't know, let's call it $50,000 a year. So if the building were to sit for a year or 2 years or even 3 years, right, that's those past payments, those $50,000 a year payments are what need to be made up. When a prospective owner comes to buy the building, they don't have to put down $1 million to get rid of the CPACE assessment, right? They just have to make up the 1 or 2 or 3 years worth of payments that are in arrears before everything is made whole again. And those payments, so, you know, we say $1 million CPACE assessment, that's probably on like a $10 million building. So a $50,000 a year payment that's due on a $10 million purchase of a building is pretty small, relatively speaking, right? What we've seen on average, these payments are about 0.4% of the building's value. An annual payment is about 0.4% of the building's value. So yeah, when a new owner is looking to buy that building, they may have to make up 0.4 to 0.8 to maybe 1.2% of the building's value. That'll have to be added in to make those CPACE payments current, and then they can purchase the property. So that's part of it. That's usually when I talk to the mortgage holders too, because they have that same concern about the risk evaluation. And when they understand that, that's when they usually provide consent. That's why we've had over 60 different banks provide consent in the state, because they've come to be comfortable with that. And they're risk analysts. That's all they do, you know, all day, every day. The other thing I'd like to say, for what it's worth, the CPACE has been around in the country for over a decade. There's been over 2,500 projects that have been financed across the country in that time. And there's been only 2 cases of default where this has actually come up, right? Not to say it can't, because it can, and it has, and it will again, I'm sure. But the rate is very low, right? And part of the reason it's so low, that underwriting that I described, the fact that the capital provider, the mortgage holder or the construction lender, the building owner, and the program, they all have to agree that this is a good deal from their own perspectives before the project can go forward. That kind of underwriting, it has helped provide this success that CPACE has seen across the country.
Okay, thank you. And I'm going to put on my urban renewal hat now. I sit on that board as well. And Commissioner Lopez's question beforehand, with the assessed evaluation of said property, so after it's completed and it's beautiful and it's renovated and it's operational, our county assessor will still be able to assess that at the new value, and those funds being, say, this is for instance a Fox Theater downtown,
right,
will be part of the urban renewal district. Will that assessed valuation from the county assessor be now for the renovations, and say the assessed valuation is X amount of dollars versus it was A amount of dollars a year ago, and that tax evaluation will be processed correctly, and the whatever entity, whether it be Tura or whether it would be the county, say 25 years from now, would be able to reach that total assessed value of tax evaluation?
Yeah, that's right. Right. So yeah, the CPACE assessment, the CPACE financing does not affect the assessor's job whatsoever, right? It doesn't matter how that building owner, whether it's the Fox Theater or whomever, however they're paying for those improvements, if it's a traditional loan or they're self-funding it, or it's a CPACE loan, that won't matter, right? Those improvements will happen. The assessor, you know, usually I guess it's when the county sees a permit come in for something And then the assessor says, oh, wait a minute, I got to take another look at that building, right? So that's irrespective of how that project is financed. So that's all business as usual. CPACE will not affect that at all.
Okay, thank you.
Luis?
Yes.
Sorry, Commissioner, do you mind if I jump in here?
Please do.
Yes, he is 100% correct in his answer. The CPACE will not have an effect on my assessments. What will affect, as you know, is the TIF district. So whatever project, wherever that value sat at the time of TIF, which would be the start of 2016, that is all the value that will go to our existing entities. At the end of our 25 years, if our TIF is, if we've met that project and it's done, then that full value, say we take a $100,000 building and we've turned it into a $1 million building, that $900,000 valuation increase at the end of the 25 years or at the end of the project will then go to the existing entities. But in the meantime, that increment, all of that incremental value increase will go to the Trinidad Urban Renewal Authority as a TIF increment.
Without any increase, assessor? And I'm sorry, Mr. Phillips, this is our assessor, County Assessor Jody Amato.
Yeah.
Yes, we will have valuation increases, but the existing entities, because the way the TIF is set up and the way TIF increment works, actual tax dollars to those entities, because of the increased development and value, that actual tax dollars will not go to those entities. So your city, your school districts, your fire districts, that incremental value will go to the TIF.
Okay, thank you for the clarification, Ms. Amato. Other question I have is for our treasurer's office, and I know it was explained in the presentation, Mr. Phillips, of a 1% fee. However, what happens, again, in default, if this goes into default, and we have to continue the process of trying to collect and all that advertisement, if we have to go to tax lien sale, will that be covered by the CPACE and all the other expenses incurred by the treasurer's office?
No, those added expenses wouldn't be, but the fee, that's right. It's a 1% annual county administration fee, we like to call it. So 1% of the annual payment, the CPACE payment, is retained by the county to sort of cover their services. So that can be, you know, it'll vary quite a bit depending on the size of the project and the size of the payment. But right, if it goes into default, it's really, you know, irrespective of whether it was the CPACE piece, but like I said, the CPACE payment is on the property tax bill. So if the owner fails to make any portion of that, you know, payment, whether it's the property taxes or a different district or a different assessment or the CPACE piece, right, that the county just sees if it doesn't add up to 100% of the what's due, then they're in the default, and then it goes, you know, potentially down whatever road that may carry. But right, you know, any of those additional costs, if it goes into default, no, the CPACE program, that administrative fee is intended to hopefully compensate the county in the event that there is a default, which, like I said, there's only been 2 out of 2,500 in the country. But anyway, that's okay. How it works.
Great. And one other question I have is, hope for the best, expect the worst question. Say in a scenario that the building owner continues to pay its property taxes to all the taxing entities and not CPACE. How does that go down and default on CPACE's end, or is that the county's end to put a, you know, move forward with a tax sale on that because your entity has not been paid?
Right. It's like, yeah, what I was just saying earlier is it's all lumped together, right? If they fail to pay any part of what's due on their property tax bill statement, then they have not paid their property taxes, essentially, right? And it carries that same weight. So whether you want to point to the CPACE piece of it or some other part of that bill, it really doesn't matter. They all carry the same weight. And just to let you know, Luis, that's part of why the capital providers, we have 39 of them in the program now, right? These are different banks and credit unions and other financing organizations that finance these projects in Colorado. One of the things they're attracted to is, from their perspective, right, is the security of this form of financing for them, because of that the building itself is really the collateral, right? That's what's underwriting these projects. So that's part of what attracts them to this. It's the same for the owners too. One of the things they find compelling is that the building itself is what's underwriting the property, right? So there's usually no personal guarantees. It's non-recourse financing. These are very compelling sort of concepts to a building owner. And in the spirit of what the program's trying to do and what the owner's trying to do, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of people, right? Because you're doing the improvements on the building and the financing is then attached to the building and it's underwritten primarily by the building, right? So that whole concept tends to resonate with all the different stakeholders that are involved.
Exactly. And as a lender, this is a win-win-win situation for a lender. And I see why it's been so successful. However, as a county, if it is not paid, the ones that lose are the county taxing entities.
Yep, you're right. There is that risk. I mean, there's no denying it. Like I said, I tried to demonstrate the risk has been historically very low. And then there's the other side of that too, right? The CPACE is enabling these owners. And there's a big new construction component to CPACE as well, right? So these are developers that are using CPACE to build new construction projects. We've got a lot of hotels and multifamily projects, condos and apartment complexes and the like. But the idea is that CPACE is helping to enable that, which improves, the building stock within the community, attracts businesses and retains businesses and tenants and building owners. It increases property taxes, right? Because the building stock is getting better or new projects are being developed. So yeah, there's always going to be that trade-off. It's not a no-risk proposition. I'm not here to tell you that, but I'm just trying to, explain that there is a lot of safeguarding around it. There is a historical precedent. That's why the program's been so successful here in Colorado and throughout the U.S., because of that track record. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to talk to you about.
Well, that clarifies some of my main concerns. Do we have any questions from any of the commissioners?
Mr. Chair, I do have another one, Mr. Phillips. So what exactly happened in Fremont County? One of the, I know you had a meeting with them a couple of weeks ago, and one of their buildings, pretty much the largest building they have on the project, what I kind of read of public information that I've been able to get my hands on. So this particular project basically is meeting all the questions that we are asking you, correct? I mean, at this point in time, I think the project went defunct, and now the county is pretty much awaiting resolution on that to recover what is due to them. And what role does the lender play in this whole thing? I mean, in a sense, as collateral to the lender, the building now pretty much belongs to the lender. And what relationship is there back to the county from the lender to make the county whole? The Fremont County example there. If you don't mind walking us through the process, I know you said that you had a meeting with the Fremont County commissioners and they pretty much decided to move on to continue on with the program. We just, as an elected official, I think in all three of us, I can pretty much speak freely that any elected official, we just want to be certain that our taxpayers are made whole and there is no gaps and loops that is going to basically, minimize the risk is pretty much what we're trying to do here.
Yep. No, I totally understand, Felix. And it's great to see. That's exactly the perspective you should be taking, right? And so I mentioned there's only been two out of 2,500 projects that have gone into default across the country, right? One of those was right here in Colorado, in the project you're talking about in Fremont County, in Florence. And the very quick background on that project, the developer was looking to do a complete gut rehabilitation of a building that had been vacant for many years on Main Street. He was looking to make it into these boutique apartments with retail on the bottom. There was going to be a restaurant and some other retail down there. And he managed to get about a halfway through the project, but then some really serious things happened to him physically. He had some real physical issues, which made it very difficult for him to continue on with the project. But also he had was counting on some money from the city that actually didn't come through. And so it was sort of a number of things that combined really made it so that he could not continue with the project. It was a pretty tragic story, quite frankly. And so the property did go into default. And so we've been working with all the stakeholders, all the folks, the developer, the lender, and the county to try to help bring a resolution to that building. And so where we're at, just to let you guys know, so he had ended up only using half of the money. His CPACE assessment was for about $600,000, but the actual construction that he had done before this all went belly up was about half of that. And so what we did was it took a while, but we were able to work to have the assessment amount reduced, basically cut in half to reflect the actual work that was done. So the assessment amount was reduced to a little over $300,000, which is going to reduce the future payments, right, to better reflect the actual work that was done. So the idea there was to make the building more marketable to a prospective buyer, because quite frankly, that's going to be the best solution for everybody. If a new owner can come in, pick up the project, finish up the construction, and then they'll make pay the past property taxes along with the CPACE assessment payments that are due and all of that, that's going to make everybody happy, the developer, the county, the lender, everybody involved. So by reducing the assessment amount, it's hopefully going to make the building more attractive. The developer, the original, the owner of the building, has a number of potential buyers that were sort of waiting for this to happen. And now that it's happened, he's in conversations with them, discussing about purchase of the property and picking it up. So, you know, I don't know how long that's going to take, but hopefully a buyer is going to be found soon. And then I'll be able to, you know, put this sort of behind us. In the meantime, it's still a work in progress, but we did have a discussion with the county and, you know, they're upset and I don't blame them by any means, but we did talk to them about where the project is at, what we've been trying to do to help resolve it. The other reason why Fremont County hasn't opted out is because in the meantime, there are a number of other building owners that are looking to use CPACE financing. There are actually three projects in active development, one which is going to close soon, and two others. There are two. One's going to be for workforce housing. Another one's going to be renovation for apartments. And another one is a hotel that they have in town that's using CPACE to do upgrades on the building. And so those owners basically were at this meeting. They talked to the county commissioners and they said, look, if you opt out, we're not going to be able to do these projects, which we really need to do. And so the county said, okay, yep, we're not going to pull out yet. So that's sort of where we're at. If an owner, a new buyer comes in, takes care of the building, I think everybody's going to feel a lot better and hopefully everything will be fine in Fremont. You know, if not, I don't know. I'm really hoping that we're going to get this figured out. We're doing everything we can, but that's, yeah. So to Felix, to answer your question, that sort of hopefully answered it. That's where we are.
Yeah. So when CPACE was created by the authority of the legislature, you're saying about 10 years ago, the what was the fiscal note, the impact
to the state, what is the amount of FTEs and how do you, you know, how do you get your money from the CPACE program? I guess what I'm asking, because, you know, one of the things that I've also heard, Tracy, is quite frankly, you know, that when counties get in a bind, CPACE is nowhere to be found. And I just want to, you know, the clarity, when legislature is drafted to actually utilize counties, and I would imagine that at that time, all counties came in support of the program. I just want this partnership to continue to be what it was meant to be. And do you see your program in need of more FTEs to manage the program nationwide?
Yeah, I mean, and right, there was that a little bit of that criticism from Fremont County that, you know, sort of the where was the program? To be quite frank, we have been working closely with all the folks involved to help resolve that situation. And you know, when that comment was made by Fremont, we pointed back to communication that we've had with the attorney and the other folks at the county, sort of appraising them of what we were working on and where things were at. A lot of it has taken a lot of time because, like I said, this building owner in particular ran into some real serious physical issues. And so he's just not, it's just hard to have him stay focused on things and help get, you know, the form signed that we need and everything else. But we have been making progress. So we see this, we call it a public-private partnership, right? We are partnering with the county. This is not, we want to work with the county. We're going to, through good times and through bad, so to speak, right? We're not going to abandon anybody in any scenario. That's exactly what we're doing in Fremont. We're working with everybody involved to try to bring it to a resolution. So that's sort of our take on it. You're not going to not hear from us if something goes wrong.
Tracy, I have a question for you. So say Los Angeles County opts into this program and two or three projects get started under CPACE and they're awarded. And a year or two go down the road and the county commissioners change. We have a different board and they don't see fit staying with this program. Can they opt out?
Yep. Yeah, the county can opt out at any time. The only obligation is any projects that were financed, right, that did close in the county and have the assessments on them, the county would still be responsible for helping to service those projects until the finance terms are complete. But the county can opt out at any time, right? If they decide that, yeah, they're no longer willing to participate, that's fine.
Except for the projects that are already in place and they'll still get the 1% until that is paid off, correct?
That's correct, yep.
Even if we opted out for any new projects, the projects intact will still...
They're gonna stay on until the finance terms are ended. That's right.
Okay. All right. Mrs. Leonetti, our treasurer, you have any questions for Mr. Phillips today?
Hi, you guys. This is Juanita. She just stepped away from the desk for 1 second to answer a question, and she'll be right back.
Okay.
Here she comes. Here she comes.
I think you might be muted, Donna. Did we lose audio?
Okay, this is Donna. I'm back from the front. Did I miss out on anything?
Yeah, I was just asking if you had any questions for Mr. Phillips today on the program.
No, not at this time.
Okay. Mrs. Coberly, our finance director.
My only concern is the liability for the county. So I've been saying that from day one. You know, that's always my concern. So because I worry about the districts and for the county on, you know, that we'll lose out on any kind of funding.
And I think Mr. Phillips kind of addressed that today. You know, Mr. Phillips, just so you're familiar with, I don't know if you're familiar with Cougar Canyon here in Trinidad, Los Angeles County. I think that might be another reason why there's some so much questioning happening here. And also, years ago, when the former Board of Commissioners rushed through the urban renewal project and the boundaries, and the county was kind of pushed into that quickly, and it didn't really benefit the county and city equally. It was pretty much one-sided with the entire city limits for that district. Usually, historically, those are for downtown districts and stuff like that. Well, this one entertained the whole city limits. So, and then with the Cougar Canyon, we have over $10 million in back taxes owed on that property. And it has nothing to do with CPACE, but I just want you to realize the reluctancy or the precautions that we're taking as a board to make sure we do our diligence here. Just to give you that background.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I think, yeah, it is your you know, sort of civic duty, right? Your responsibility to protect your constituents. So I feel like you guys are taking a real genuine hard look at this from your own perspective. And that's what you should do, you know. And you know, if you're comfortable and you guys want to participate, then I'm going to be very excited to start working with, you know, your community to try to help develop projects and help the building owners and developers in the community. And if you're not comfortable doing it, you know, that's okay too. I mean, I'd rather you not participate if you don't want to do it willingly. But it, you know, there is, like I said, there is the precedent. CPACE has been around in the country for a long time. There has been a lot of projects done here in Colorado. We financed 89 projects so far to the tune of $113 million. There are 35 other counties, and there are, you know, a good mix. It's counties from the Front Range and the Western Slope and Southern Colorado and Eastern Colorado and the Northeast. So, you know, it's a lot of different types of communities and governments that have come on board that have looked at it in different ways. But I respect the fact that you guys are taking a hard look at it, and you absolutely should.
Well, one other question, Mr. Phillips, that I have is, since you mentioned governments, are government agencies available to participate in the CPACE program for, say, public buildings?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so we're working on that. So public buildings technically are eligible. There's no reason why they couldn't utilize CPACE. The challenge that we have is TABOR, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which essentially says, right, a government building, public building, can't enter into a long-term financial agreement without voter approval. Now, that said, we're currently working with the Fort Lyon folks in Bent County, and we're using one of their buildings as sort of a test to see if we can figure out a way to utilize CPACE without triggering TABOR. And just to give you guys a quick insight into that, we're looking to do basically what like performance contracting does, which you might be familiar with, which is almost like a lease purchase agreement. And it's used for other forms of projects like this too. So we think we have the financial model figured out through that sort of lease purchase agreement model. The other challenge we have, though, is the underwriting. From the capital provider's perspective, how do they underwrite a public building, right? And so so we think we have a model that's going to work there as well. It's been used in other states for some projects. And so we're working through that process now. So hopefully we're going to get that all figured out with this building at the Fort Lyon project. But anyway, yeah, so the quick answer is yes, public buildings are eligible. And even I know that TABOR typically is not an issue if a building has either enterprise status or voted authority. So if it's that scenario, then we should be able to work with that building immediately. But in the meantime, right, we're working on the solution that hopefully will provide a model for any public building in the state to follow.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions I have for you. Mr. Dorenkamp, do you have anything to add?
No, just a comment to add on to what County Assessor Jody Amato said when she talked about buildings that may be within the urban renewal TIF district, any kind of CPACE improvement on the assessed values that the county and those taxing entities wouldn't realize any of that increase. But I think that also goes for the way it is even without CPACE improvements are made upon those buildings. So no, that's the only comment I have. No questions.
Luis, yep. This is Leonetti County Treasurer. I just wanted to remind you too of all the special taxings I have out there that I'm unable to collect on, and that no buyers at the tax sale will purchase them because the liens are extremely high. So we just strike them off to the county and just probably wait 30 years and maybe hopefully we can delete them back then and start all over again.
So it would take 30 years for those to come off the tax rolls?
If they are county housed for that long, yes.
And so during all those 30 years, no taxes are collected? Correct?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Leonetti.
That's the same scenario as Cougar. Here we go with Cougar Canyon again. Most of these tax liens are already at least 10 years old that the county's holding a certificate on.
Okay.
Between 8 and 10 years.
Right. Okay.
And I did send all the commissioners, I think, a county held list that goes back 30 years that we can start deleting to, but not going to that area now, but just to kind of remind you guys that could possibly happen also.
Thank you, Donna. We have any other questions or concerns from any of our staff or folks on the call today?
Commissioner House here. I think Mr. Phillips got a crash course in the hesitancy from this Los Alamos County, and I think that excuse me, low bandwidth.
We lost you there, Tony. Just give him a minute there to get back on.
That's all I had. I'm suffering from low bandwidth here, so continue.
The crash course is correct, Mr. Phillips. So you have anything else to close with, Mr. Phillips?
No, yeah, I would love it to see, you know, Los Alamos County come on board. I know, and when we were all together on back in early March, I know with Stephanie Bakken and Danelle and Dana Crawford, there are a number of projects, like you mentioned, the Fox Theater, that are interested in potentially using CPACE. So it's great to see the need is already there. I'm looking forward to hopefully working with them to help get those projects developed. So yeah, and Felix, I'll send you that statute. I'll send you an email right after this call. Hopefully I'll hear from you all soon.
Thank you so much, and thank you for making time this afternoon to hear our comments, concerns, and as Commissioner Tony has said, if you need to teach anyone hesitation 101, we can teach that class pretty certain.
Mr. Phillips, thank you, and Mrs. Berg has gained, I've worked with her for over 4 years now. And she's probably the right person to come down here because I trust her wholeheartedly. She wouldn't steer us wrong. And the presentation you guys gave was good. I think this helps finalize the questions we have. We will put this up to our legal counsel and our administration and possibly have a discussion on it at our next board meeting in executive session. And then possibly from there, move forward or not. Thank you for your time today and everybody on the call. And be safe, and God bless you all, and I would entertain a motion to adjourn, please.
Motion to adjourn.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.